I know this new year, I'm looking for greater things in our lives. And so for a few minutes, I'm going to bring the word of God. I was planning to speak to you at the end of last year, but God's plan was, I give you a new year message. Amen? Amen. How many of you are ready to receive the word of God? So as I was praying for what to speak, the Lord put in my heart a verse that I want you to write it down. If you have a pen and a paper, I want you to write it down. This is a word from the Lord for you. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Many times we are open to receive blessings from God, blessings from others, but this year the Lord wants you to start giving out from what He has already given you. When you start giving out, this was like the disciples of Jesus who took the baskets of loaves and fishes to the people. As they started giving out, their baskets continued to be full. It was never empty. When they were giving out the loaves and the fishes to the 5,000 people, the men and the women and children, their baskets were not getting less. They were full and full and full till they completed giving to all the 5,000. And then the word of God says, each of them had a full basket to take home with them. Can you believe that? The disciples came with nothing, but they had a basket to take away. And so the word for the church for this new year, don't tell me that you have nothing to give. Each of you have something that the Lord has given. And so today, I want to speak on the topic giving joyfully. I don't know how it all happened, but you know, these last days we were going through the book of Philippians, and it was, as I told you, we learned many things about doing joyfully, praying joyfully, sharing Christ joyfully, following Christ joyfully, growing joyfully in Christ, practicing joy daily in our life. But let me tell you, the ultimate joy that you can get in your life is by giving. The greatest joy that you can get is by giving. Have you ever thought about this? The multi-millionaires, the people with real money, when they come to a stage when they have more money in their hand, they all go into becoming philanthropists. They all start giving out of what they have for different causes, because there is a joy in giving and helping others than keeping to ourselves. And so today I want to speak about the joy in giving. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. We are going to close up the book of Philippians today. We are in chapter number 4. And Apostle Paul here is writing to the people of the church of Philippi. After speaking about to them about everything concerning joy, he starts speaking about how much he was rejoicing because of what these people were doing. Look into Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10 onwards. I want to read out from my Bible. If you have your own version, please look through what I'm reading out. In verse number 10, Apostle Paul is saying, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. Now, not that I speak in regards of need, but I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds in your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Let the people of God say,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You know, this passage speaks about the church in Philippi. They were people who loved to give to Apostle Paul. They were liberal in financially supporting the Apostle Paul. In fact, they took up offering for Paul when he was in prison because of his faith. And Apostle Paul wanted them to know how much he appreciates that they have taken care of him financially. And we see the word joy coming. He was rejoicing in the Lord. Sitting in that prison cell, he was rejoicing that this church was willing to give liberally for the needs of the apostle. You know, there is a joy in giving. Giving will bring a lot of joy in your lives if you are able to do it. And this passage tells us how giving can make you joyful. I just briefly want to very quickly give you five things and I will close here. Five things very quickly. Look to verse number 10. Number one, giving revives our concern. It revives our concern. What it means, there's a word called that in me has flourished again. The word flourished is like dead coming back to life, as revived. It's like a tree that is barren in the winter, but when the spring comes, the tree will blossom into new shoots and flowers. See, the church in Philippi has been barren when they could not express their concern to Apostle Paul in giving, but they were revived with concern. So let me tell you, this is the application for us. Take the focus from yourself and start putting the focus on somebody who needs more than us. Giving becomes a tangible way to express concern and love for other people. I'll give you an illustration. A rich man went to a wise counselor and asked for help. The counselor took that man to a window out to that office that was overlooking the street down below. The counselor said, "What do you see out there?" The man said, "I see people." Then the counselor took this man to a mirror and he said, "Look, and now what do you see?" He said, "I see myself." The counselor told, "This mirror is actually the glass that you looked a little while before, but now it is coated with silver on one side." And this is what the counselor told this man. No sooner when you add silver to your vision that you stop looking at other people and you only start looking at yourself. When you add silver to the glass that God has given you to see people with. You know, let me tell you, as you focus on the need of others, you will experience joy, because that is what God wants from our life. It revives our concern for people. Number two, verse number 11. Very quickly, I'm telling you, giving will teach us to be content with what we have. Many times we always think we don't have enough. We don't have a big house, we don't have a good car, we don't have a big job, we don't have a big wardrobe, we don't have so many things that other people have. But I'm telling you, it is not how much you have, but it is to be sufficient in what God has given you. Our sufficiency should be Christ. He should be our sufficiency. Don't always be looking at the next door neighbor and say, "Look at yourself, what you don't have," because Christ has given us so much. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, Apostle Paul says, we should not be sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. It is God who makes you sufficient. And so whether we are naked or clothed, whether we are hungry or whether we are full, we have everything that we need. And today what happened, we are in a consumer driven society. Always we think that having more goods will give us joy and satisfaction. But you know, nobody is satisfied. A man who has one car wants 5 cars. A man who has one house wants 5 houses. A man who has one wife wants 5 wives. But still he is not satisfied. Look at Solomon, the one who had everything he wanted. Read the book of Ecclesiastes and he says, it's everything is vanity. I search for this. I search for money. I search for riches. I search for knowledge. It's not giving me satisfaction. We need to understand that our sufficiency is in Christ. We need to be sufficient with what God has given us, because God has given us more than we need. And so in this materialistic world, what we need to do, we can, this is the verse for you, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is our sufficiency. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says that Jesus said, I will never leave you or never forsake you. So don't be covetous. Don't start dreaming about what the things you don't have today. Be content with what you have. And that is the true joy that you can get in your life. The third thing I would tell you is in verse number 14. Is that when you start giving, you become a partner in the ministry that God has given. Look here, Apostle Paul says that you shared with me in my distress. The word share comes from the word called fellowship or the word called partnership. And so when you start giving to the work of God's kingdom, you are becoming a partner with God in doing His work on this earth. This is how God's kingdom comes. We need to partner with God in giving our resources, whatever God has given us. I'm not talking about only money. Don't take me wrong. We have time. We have talents. We have skills. We have so many blessings in our life. We need to start partnering with God in expanding His kingdom. And that is what God wants from us. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 15 says, how can they call on Him who have not believed? How can they believe on whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Somebody needs to send a preacher who will speak out the gospel, who will be heard, and when they hear, they will believe and they will call the name of the Lord. But somebody has to do something and be a partner in the ministry. That would give joy in your life. Let me come to verse number 17 and 18. The fourth reason why we should give is it will pay spiritual dividends for you. You see, Paul was very clear that he was not really looking for monetary gifts for himself, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when you do kingdom work, when you are participating in God's kingdom, it will give you spiritual dividends. It will become a well-pleasing aroma before God. Look at verse number 18. Apostle Paul says it's a sweet-smelling aroma. You know what it reminds of? The worship that God loves. He loves to smell the sweet aroma that is emanating from a worship, of a sacrificial worship. When you start giving, that becomes an act of worship and devotion to God. We may just sing with all what we have, I love you, Lord. But if we don't open our wallet and give $1. I mean, do you think God is fooled? We need to give what we have to help in the ministry, to do the work of God, because that is how God's work will get done. And so I'm just telling you is that when we give, it pays a lot of spiritual dividends. Psalms 4 verse 5 and 7 says, offer the sacrifice of righteousness. And it says that you put gladness in my heart more than their grain and wine increased. You know, when we sacrifice to the God, we get a joy in our heart. And finally, verse number 19. I will close here. You know, giving grows our faith in God. Our faith increases. You see here, these people, they gave for Paul's ministry. And so what Apostle Paul gave them back in return was a great promise that he would not give to any other church. And what was the promise? In verse number 19, my God shall supply all your need
kingdom. When you start giving to God's kingdom, God promises He will supply all your need. How? According to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, when we start giving to God, He will not allow you to sink down. He will keep you afloat, and in fact, He will start blessing you. You know, when you look at verse number 19, it says, God will meet our needs personally. It says, my God, your God, your personally, He will help to meet your need. Number two, He will meet your needs liberally. It says, accord all your needs. God will meet all your needs, not your wants, but all your needs. And then it says, according to how? According to His riches in glory. He will meet your needs gloriously. So as I'm closing here, I want to just tell you this. We need to give to God and give to Him what belongs to Him. Don't keep back from God what belongs to God. I will close with a final illustration here. There was a time when some people came to Jesus and they asked a very tricky question to Jesus. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? That was their question. Should we pay them? They asked the question to Jesus. How did Jesus answer? He said, bring me a coin. And when He showed the coin and says, whose inscription is this coin? They said, this is Caesar's head. That was the inscription. And then Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belonged to God. What Jesus was saying, the coin on whose impression or whose image it is, you need to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But you should give to God what belongs to God. Now let me ask you this. On whom is the image of God today? It is on each of us. We are the image of God. We belong to God. So first of all, even before giving, let us understand one thing. We belong to Him. We need to give to God what belongs to Him. Starting with ourselves. Our body presenting as a living sacrifice. Our minds transformed to do the will of God. And our day-to-day walk where we walk after Him and do what is right before the Lord. And so today I want to just give you this challenge. This is my New Year's message for each of you. Start giving out from what you have. You may say, Pastor, I don't have much money. I don't earn much. I understand that. We all don't earn a lot. But you have something. When you start giving to God out of what you have, let me start with the illustration I started. The little boy had just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When he gave it in the hand of Jesus and Jesus blessed it, it became a blessing for more than 5,000 men and women and children. When he gave out to the Lord what he had. Today the Lord is saying, give to God what you have. You have time in your hands, give it to the Lord. You have talents, give it to the Lord. You have resources, give it to the Lord. You have money, you give it to the Lord. Because to Him belongs, we belong to Him and everything that we have belongs to the Lord. Can we just stand up for a moment as we totally surrender our hearts at this time? We are going to take the offering. This is a New Year's gift, a New Year's offering that you want to give to the Lord. And at this time as we are standing up, I want you to just raise your hands before the Lord. I want each of us to surrender ourselves and say, Lord, I belong to You. I want to give what I have to You. Everything that I have belongs to You, Lord. Can you just start, just lift up your hands throughout everywhere. Can we just start worshiping the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's all start worshiping to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everyone, lift up your voices. Let's all start worshiping. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Timmy, can you play the thing for me? Hallelujah. Can we just start giving to the Lord? Giving, starting from today. Lord, this year I'm going to start giving. And not wait to receive something. But I'm going to start giving out to the kingdom of God. Can you just say to the Lord, Lord, I love You. And I want to worship You this morning. I want to worship You, Lord, before I go back to my home. I want to worship You, Lord.